I have for you today another one of those controversial subjects, but I don't mind preaching them at all if you'll listen to them and if you'll carefully consider the things that I'm saying and the things that I'm reading from God's Word. You know, the Apostle Paul said, if I please men, if that's my goal and my objective is to get along with people and to tickle their ears and please them, then I'm not the servant of Christ. And that's not my objective. My objective is to glorify God, to preach the Word of God as long as God will let me live and open doors for me to enter and preach the gospel and tell you the truth about God, the truth about sin, the truth about salvation, the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the truth about this thing called faith. And I'm going to preach this morning on this subject, Christ, the divider of men. Yes, that's what I said, Jesus Christ, the divider. It says in Luke 12:51, now you jot these scriptures down if you don't turn to them and read them now, at least jot them down and read them later. Be like the Bereans. They heard Paul preach and they went home and searched the scriptures to see if these things be true. And that's what I challenge you to do. Search the scriptures. You say, I never heard it that way before. Well, that doesn't make it wrong. There's a whole lot of things we hadn't heard before. Our Lord said, I've got many things to say to you, he said to his disciples, but you can't hear them now. He even said to the Pharisees, I've got many things yet to judge of you. When the Holy Spirit has come, he'll take the things of Christ and reveal them to you. But the way the Holy Spirit teaches you is through the preaching of the Word and the reading of the Word of God. In Luke 12:51, it says this, our Lord speaking, he said, do you suppose that I am come to give peace on this earth? I tell you, no. No. I came to bring division. I've come not to bring peace to the earth, but a sword, division. That's what it says, just plainly as you can, if words mean anything. Christ said in Luke 12:51, do you suppose that I am come into this world to give peace on earth? I tell you, no, but rather division. And then in John 7:43, listen to this. So there was a division among the Jews because of him. He divided these people. In John 10:19, listen to this. There was a division. There was a split. There was a separation among the Jews for his sayings. And many said, well, he has a devil. He's mad. Why do you listen to him? You see, when our Lord walked this earth in human flesh, he was despised. He's a holy man, God in human flesh. He knew no sin, had no sin, did no sin. And yet he was rejected and despised and hated of men. Isaiah predicted that hundreds of years before he came. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 53:2-3, he said, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Everybody who was anybody turned thumbs down on Jesus Christ. All the theologians, all the scholars, all the rulers, all the people. He said to his disciples in John 15, he said, if the world hate you, you know it hated me before it hated you. In John 15:23, our Lord said again, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. And in John 15:25, he said this, they hated me without a cause. Here is perfect holiness. Here's the very righteousness of God. Here's truth embodied, the fullness of God in him. Here is Jesus Christ himself standing on this earth. And they cursed him. They called him a devil. The Gadarenes demanded that he leave their shores and never come back. They tried to stone him. They spat in his face. They tried to throw him off a cliff. And finally, they hired false witnesses against him at a mock trial. They convicted him without a cause and crucified him between two thieves and ridiculed him while he died. Now, that's what men think of Jesus Christ. Yeah, but you say, wouldn't the Lord fare better today? Wouldn't it be better today? Matthew 23:30, our Lord dealt with that very subject. That very subject. He said, you say, now he was talking to the religious people when he was here on this earth. He says to them, now you say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, if we had lived in the days of Abraham and of Moses and Elijah and Isaiah, if we'd have lived in these days, we would not have persecuted the prophets. We would not have been partakers with them in the shedding of the blood of the prophets. We would have loved Moses. We would have loved Isaiah. We would have loved Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. We would have loved Jeremiah. Don't be deceived. Our Lord told them, he said, you're the sons of those that killed the prophets, and you and your daddies are guilty of the blood of every prophet from righteous Abel to the last one who'll ever die. Don't be deceived by monuments and recognition given to preachers of the past. It is simply one generation trying to cover up the crimes of another generation. The natural man is always the same. His mind is enmity against God. You see, this is the way man operates. This is the way men operate in the religious world. If you ask me, would Jesus Christ fare better today? Oh, no. Sin's the same, Christ is the same, men are the same. You see, here's the way they operate. When Moses was here on the earth, they hated him. The Israelites hated him. They did their best to take the leadership away from him while they bragged on Abraham. But see, Abraham was dead. And then after Moses died and the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, they hated him and bragged on Moses. And then when the Lord Jesus was crucified and ascended to heaven, they hated the apostles and bragged on Christ. And when the apostles died and the reformers were here, men like Calvin and Luther and Zwingli and Huss and the rest of them, they loved the apostles and hated the reformers. They made a martyr out of the apostle Peter, but after he's dead, they built a church and named it for him over in Rome. Always that way. St. Jude, St. Peter, St. John, St. Paul, they've got these great monstrosities built in the name of these men, and their daddies killed them. But what we're doing today is this. We're bragging on the reformers, and we're killing preachers that preach what these men used to preach. Everybody everywhere is bragging on Spurgeon. When he lived here on this earth, they hated him. Spurgeon said one time, scarcely a minister of any reputation will have anything to do with me. And now everybody brags on him. You know why? He's dead. Same thing with John Calvin, Martin Luther in Germany. It took the divine providence of God to keep people from killing Luther. He was taken from place to place and hidden here and there and yonder to keep them from killing him. Now Lutheranism is the national religion of Germany. He's dead. And I say this to you, our Lord Jesus Christ was despised and rejected of men then, and in his true character and true gospel and true attributes and true redemption, he's just as despised today. What caused this extreme hatred for Christ? What made men despise him and reject him and so hate him to the point of nailing him to a cross? What did they hate about him? What did he do? What did he say that caused their hatred to rise up in their nostrils and their fists to be clenched and drive nails in his hands and his feet and mock and jeer and spit on him and laugh while he died on that cross? What did he say? What did he do? All right, let me just take several passages of Scripture and show you. And let's see what your response is to these Scriptures and to these things which I shall read, and which I'll make some brief comment on each one. First of all, in John 10:31, it says, then our Lord Jesus Christ was speaking, and it says, then they took up stones again to stone him. Now, you know what it means to stone a man? It means to pick up huge stones. I'm not talking about pebbles. I'm talking about huge stones. and throw him into his face and body until he's broken down on the ground, and then beat him to death with those stones till he's dead. And Jesus Christ was standing before these deeply religious, devout, orthodox, moral people, and they took up stones to stone him. They were going to kill him. What had he done? What had he said? Well, let's go back a verse or two and see what he said. In John 10:30, he said, "I and my Father are one." Then they took up stones to stone him. He said, "I and my Father, I and the Heavenly Father, I and the Living Father are one. I'm equal with God. I'm God in human flesh. When you see me, you've seen God. In essence, in power, in purpose, in will, in glory, I'm one with the Father." Then they took up stones to stone him. And he said to them, "Many good works have I done among you. For which of these do you stone me?" Oh, they said, "We're not stoning you for good works. We've got no objections to good works. In fact, we believe in good works." That's the way they hoped to go to heaven, was by their good works. "But what we object to is this: blasphemy, because you're a man. You're a man, and you make yourself to be God." Well, I ask you today, I ask you, sitting right there by this television set, is Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, Son of Mary, is he God? Is he Almighty God? What's your reaction? I'm not talking about a son of God. I'm not talking about a messenger of God. I'm not talking about an ambassador to God, of God. I'm asking you frankly, pointedly, is he God Almighty? Is he? Who actually came to this earth in human form? This is what he's saying. "I and my Father are one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, yet one God. The Lord our God's one God. They cannot operate or purpose or will or work apart from one another. They're one. When you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was with God, and Jesus Christ was God. And Jesus Christ was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Paul said to the elders at Ephesus, "Feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Whose blood? God's blood. "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in human flesh." What are you saying, preacher? You know what I'm saying. I'm saying the same thing he said. Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is God. If he's not God, he's an imposter. He's a liar. He's a fraud. Jesus Christ is a fraud. People say, "I don't believe he's God. I believe he's a great prophet." He was a fraud if he's not God. "Well, I don't believe Jesus Christ is God, but I believe he's a great preacher and healer like Muhammad or Buddha." The biggest liar that ever walked in human flesh if he's not God. If he's not God, he can't save anybody. Couldn't save himself. If he's not God, everybody who worships him is an idolater. He claimed all the attributes of God. All that. You know what an attribute is? The attributes of God. That's the character of God. That's qualities that belong to God. What are the qualities that belong to God? Well, eternal existence. And that's what Christ said. Before Abraham was, I am. The only one who ever used the word "I am" is God Almighty. Christ used it again and again. Creating power, says all things were made by him. What are the qualities that belong to God? Power to give life. Power to give life. The only one who has power to give life is God. And Christ said the Son will quicken whom he will. Holiness. None holy but God. That's what he said. None good but God. And yet Jesus Christ said, "Which of you convinceth me of sin? I always do those things that please the Father." Always. What about omnipotence? What is omnipotence, preacher? That means almighty, all power, nothing beyond his power. Well, Christ said, all the power, authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Jesus said that. What about omnipresence? That means God's everywhere. Even Satan's not omnipresent. God's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall hold me. Christ said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. What about omniscience? What is omniscience? He knows all things. And our Lord Jesus knew their thoughts. So when they grabbed the stones and would have stoned him, there was a division among the people. Why? He said, I'm God. All right, look at Luke 4, 28, 29. Now this was on a Sabbath day when these ritualistic, legalistic, so-called righteous Jews had met together to worship in the synagogue. And they turned into a lynch mob. And it says in Luke 4, 28, 29, and all that were in the church building, the synagogue, when they heard these things, when they heard his message, they were filled with wrath. And they led him to the cliff on which their city was built, that they might cast him off headlong. What in the world had he done? Here was a bunch of folks on the Sabbath day had gone to the synagogue to hear the word of God read and hear a man preach, and he just said about 8 or 10 things, and they took him out and were going to kill him, murder him, cast him off a hill down in the on the rocks below to dash his brains out. What on earth did he do? Well, I tell you what, these people were organized religion. This was a Sabbath day. Tell you what he said. He stood before them and opened the Bible to Isaiah 61, and he read a messianic prophecy. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to give sight to the blind, deliverance to the captive, to set at liberty them that are bound, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is a messianic prophecy, promise, and word. And he said to them, this day is this prophecy fulfilled in your ears. And he looked out there at that bunch of religious people. See, they thought they were the chosen people of God, that they were the elect of God, that they were the kingdom of God, that they were the Jews, Abraham's seed, and that God owed them something. God was obligated to them. They were all fixed up for heaven and the kingdom of God. And our Lord said to them, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, but none of them were fed, but one of the widows who was a Gentile. And they began to stir and to murmur. In other words, he's saying here, God will save whom he will. God owes mercy to no man. God owes grace to no man. Grace is undeserved, unmerited favor. And he's saying, just because you're Abraham's seed by nature does not mean you're God's child. Doesn't mean God's obligated to you. Because you've done certain works and have certain ancestry or heritage doesn't mean that God owes you anything. He said, in fact, there were many lepers in the land of Israel in the days of Elisha, but none of them were healed. None of them, but one, and he was a Gentile. My, my, my. He's saying to these religious Israelites who thought they had a corner on God, he is saying to these religious Israelites who thought God owed them something, that salvation is not in ceremony, ancestry, customs, or religion, or rituals. It's by the grace of God, the sovereign grace of God. God said, I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. He says no man deserves the mercy of God because of who he is, what he claims, what he's given, or what he's done. Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's a gift of God. and he'll give it to whom he will. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? When he said that God will show mercy to whom he will, they got so angry and filled with wrath and hatred, they would have murdered him right on the spot, although they knew what he said was so. It was right there in their Bibles. It was right there in their Bibles. Right there in the book, that none of the widows of Israel were fed. But there was a widow of Sidon that the prophet Elijah went to, and God sent him down there. And none of the lepers in Israel in those days were healed, but Elisha healed Naaman the Gentile. And it was there in the Word. And yet when our Lord preached it, they tried to murder him. There was a division over what he said. And I face the same thing in this day. I preach God's absolute, immutable, infinite sovereignty. And had religious people gnash their teeth. And I've said, well, there it is in the Word. I've preached God's elective grace. And I said, there it is, dozens of times in the Word. But we don't believe it. We won't have it. Like one man read Romans 9 to a friend, and he said, you believe that? He said, not like you read it. Well, there's not but one way to read it. But men hate a sovereign God. They don't hate grace, they hate sovereign grace. Everybody talks about grace. But they hate sovereign grace. They hate grace in the hands of a sovereign God. And grace that's not sovereign is not grace. Grace that is earned or bought is not grace, it's reward. Men don't hate mercy, they hate sovereign mercy. But mercy that's not sovereign is not mercy, it's debt. If I owe you mercy, it's not mercy. Mercy is giving you what you don't deserve, and not giving you what you do deserve. All right, John 8:59. Shall I go on? Let's try another one. Then they took up stones to cast at him again. There's forever trying to kill him. This is Jesus Christ. And it wasn't because he healed blind people and raised. I hear folks today, all the television preachers are getting all excited, saying, well, he can still heal. Well, sure he can. Well, he can still do all the evidence. Sure he can, but what did he say? That's where the issue is. They're paying attention to his miracles, not paying attention to his gospel. The issue is not what he did, it's what he said. That's the way it was with these people. They didn't care how many good works he did or how many people he fed or how many dead people he raised or how many crippled people he healed. That wasn't the issue. It's what he said. Took up stones to stone him. What in the world had he done? Here are these religious people again trying to stone the Lord Jesus right here in the synagogue. This in John 8:59 was in the temple. And they were going to murder him in the temple. Well, he had rejected their doctrine of the fatherhood of God. They said, God's our father. He said, he's not, the devil's your father. That's what they got mad about. He called them sinners. He called them children of wrath. They said, God's the father of all men. We're ecumenical people. And God's the father of all men. We're all children of God. He said, no, you're not. Christ said, no, you're not. They said, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said to them, and here's why they got mad. If God were your Father, if he were, you'd love me. But you are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He's a liar from the beginning, and he's a murderer. He that heareth God's word is of God. You hear them not because you're not of God. You say, that sounds like some backwoods, one gallus, fanatical, radical preacher to me. It's Christ the Lord talking. He said, as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God. My friends, men and women who live in unbelief and rebellion are not children of God. God's not their father. They do not enjoy the love and favor of God. And I know there are people sitting right there listening to me who are cringing. They're angry. That's what these people were too. And it wasn't the preachers talking to them. It was the Son of God talking to them. He said, you have your father the devil. He that believeth not on the Son of God, the wrath of God abideth on him. We're going around telling everybody, good news, America, God loves you. That's like going to Sodom and saying, good news, Sodom, God loves you. Not a word of truth in it. God's love's in Christ. And outside of Christ, God's a consuming fire. He calls them children of wrath. He said in Psalm 7:11, God's angry with the wicked every day. God's love is in Christ. I'm telling you the truth. It's in Christ. And this is the Lord speaking. And you measure these things by what I'm saying. I'm reading you scriptures from the Word of God. This is why these people were divided. Christ said, I didn't come to send peace on this earth. No, I came to bring division. Over what? Over His gospel. Over His truth. Over His Word. Everybody can get together around a healing. Everybody can get together around an emotional, sentimental meeting. Everybody can get together around some wildfire. But the only place to meet is at the tabernacle of Christ Jesus and His truth. And it says, from that time, many of His disciples walked no more with them. He said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the water of life. I'm the truth. He that cometh to me, cometh to God. And he that knoweth not the Son, knoweth not the Father. Oh, that you would hear me. Now, I have two messages on this cassette tape. A return to the gospel and Christ, divider of men. If you want these two messages, send $2 and we'll mail them to you quickly as possible. The address will be given to you in just a moment. A return to the gospel and Christ, divider of men. Till next week, God bless you.